Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I'm Spider-Cliff.
Cliff, is there something you want to talk about this episode?
I've been playing Spider-Man.
Good job. You have a PlayStation in your house.
I do. One of my mates completed the game. He's just got a few gadgets to go. So he said he thought I would enjoy it. And he's been talking, I guess, not with me about it, because I don't have any frame of reference previously. He's been talking at me about it. It seems pretty fun. So he's like, you can borrow my PlayStation. And I went and picked it up from him yesterday, and I've been playing it in the last day and a half or so.
Nice. Are you enjoying it?
I am, with some buts.
Of course you are.
Now, the buts are like, I nitpick a bunch. Buts. But the buts are problems I have with other games in general of this style. And stop laughing when I say buts.
Well, it's your own fault. You brought buts to the table.
All right, so I'll get the problems I have out of the way first. The combat is, at times, can be like finicky and annoying. Like when I webbed a guy up completely and he still hit me, and you could see after I died, you know, it does the like slow motion when you like fall over and ragdoll. He was fully bound up, and I'm like, oh, that's annoying. That's really annoying.
I did have some occasions where I webbed them final, like the final web shot at the same time as they were striking, and that was really annoying.
Yeah. So there's some stuff like that. Occasionally it targets the wrong person, and so you...
That one's tricky, yeah.
Face first into a... You know, like a machine gun blast or a rocket or something like that. Like, there's some bits like that. But these are problems with other games that do combat like this as well. That was the same problems with Arkham. Even the do you remember the Deadpool game that came out a few years ago?
I do, yes.
Yeah, that had the same issues. It's just that style of combat where you're mobbed by bad guys and you got to fight your way out of the mob. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem with these kind of games. Like, I understand that throwing more enemies at you is a great way to create an easy challenge without having to do anything new, but in those situations where you can't finesse, or worse, you start getting like daisy chain attacked by the enemies and there's literally no opening for you, that stuff drives me crazy.
Yeah, and you get better at it, so you learn the quirks of it and stuff like that, but early on it's pretty frustrating when some sort of quirk like kind of screws you up, and you're like, well, I guess if when it's the case of a mission, so I guess I'll do that section again, or if it's just a random, bad guys doing bad guy things, then it's like, well, that's now disappeared. I guess I go off and try and find another one. And like, apart from that, like that style as well, where you just get waves of people or whatever, it gets repetitive fast. And so you just kind of get, when you have the larger fights, you're just kind of wishing that it was over so you can get to the next bit.
Yeah, I definitely got that. Especially in the Arkham games, when you got to the point where you're getting swamped by, 15, 20 just grunts. It's just boring.
Yeah, and they throw in like a couple of guys with weapons, and where you're trying to fight off these guys and you're getting shot at the same time, and you dodge, but you're already being, you instantly get targeted again, and you just, and stuff like that. So, it is very obvious when you're being targeted. Sometimes it's not that you don't see it, it's just that you're trying to not get punched by the 10 guys around you, and you kind of miss it.
Yeah.
Also had some problems with the perfect dodging early on, because before you power it up, the window is sometimes fucking tiny, and you can press the button straight away, and you still get hit by whatever comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But that, like I said, that's problems that with that style of fighting in any game. And Deadpool was really bad for the repetitiveness. The final levels, it was slow. Like, I love that game, because Deadpool was great in that game. And all the individual stuff, like between fights, is great. It's just the fights got progressively more boring and long.
Yeah. I remember I was, I don't think I ever finished the game, because I got to a point where I was, I think in Genosha. Is Genosha where you are when you're in all ruined buildings?
Yeah. You have a giant shoe.
Yes, I got through that bit, which was amazing. But there was a bit, I think you were fighting successive clones of the same guy, Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was badly checkpointed, and you'd get mobbed and trapped in a corner and stuff. And I was just I have better things to do with my time.
Yeah. So those are the bad things about Spider-Man, but it's not bad about Spider-Man. It's just bad about that type of combat system.
Yeah.
The good things about Spider-Man is like the movement is amazing. It's great. Even my girlfriend is not very good at complex movement stuff in games. She was able to pick it up and kind of do it. And she had a great time just like flinging around and stuff.
That is amazing fun. Yeah.
I feel like that's the part of the game I want the most. I spend most of my time not doing missions, but doing that, just pissing about, finding backpacks and stuff. So that's really, really fun. The story so far, I'm not that far in. The story's okay so far. Lots of foreshadowing for various things, of course.
Yeah.
The banter while you're swinging around listening to JJ's
podcast
and stuff, that was really, really good. It's really, really fun. Even the bit where you gotta like not be Spider-Man and be MJ for a bit, it's okay.
Yeah. I was actually impressed with those bits where you're not playing as Spidey, like Peter Parker or Mary Jane, because it's stealth inserted into a non-stealth game, which I typically have a problem with because it's very badly implemented. Yeah. This was decent.
It was okay.
I don't know if you would have gotten to this one, but there's one where you've got to sort of navigate around with her while avoiding enemies and not stepping on like broken glass because it generates noise and gets their attention.
I've not done that bit yet, no.
And there's also like stacks of boxes that you can knock over that generate noise. And I fucked that up a few times because I didn't notice the glass the first time. Mm-hmm. So I just tromped across it, didn't even notice that it had made a sound that indicated, oh, hey, you're going to get spotted. And then all of a sudden a bad guy turns around and just shot me in the face. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's good times. But yeah, I found that the stealth was pretty good. And even the parts where you play as Peter Parker just walking around like the feast center and stuff, actually pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
Like I enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. Especially because they let you slow down and give a lot of little interactables so you can get some background info on the world and stuff. Mm. I was just gonna say I didn't dig far enough to see it myself, but apparently the Feast Clinic, when you walk in, there's like a wall of success stories or something, like all these testimonials, and one of them is about the rehabilitation of Flash Thompson after he loses his leg in the Iraqi War, I think it is these days.
I mean, that's not particularly deep cut, but it's not something you'd necessarily expect to find just like on a wall.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just kind of, it's there. I don't think it's even an interactable. It's just you can read it if you get up close.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's a nice little touch.
Yeah. So the puzzles in the game, right?
Yes.
So I thought, the puzzles, there's going to be like a butt ton of these. Not a butt ton? Like 10, 15 maybe?
Oh, the research puzzles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get to do over a third of them or something straight away and then not go back to them ever, it seems. I go back to check and that, nope, no more to do, except I need fucking research tokens to unlock the shit I need, and I can't get any more.
There are other avenues for research tokens. You just haven't gotten there yet.
Ah, boring and annoying. I want to unlock the things now so I can get the sweet black spider suit.
Those sections are more an introduction to those mechanics that are then used elsewhere in the game.
Right, okay, cool. Because, yeah, there's things I want right now. And
yeah.
I know it's probably perfectly acceptable that you got to go through and, you know, you get them over time and stuff. But then don't show me the sweet black suit and then not let me get it because I don't have research tokens right now. Fuck you. I want that thing. Now.
Yeah. I do like that they don't show all the suits straight away. Like, as you level up, it shows more of them coming up and what you need for them. Because there are some, like, especially at the point where you're at the moment, where you don't even know what the tokens are.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, here's things. And it's like, well, I want them now. How do I get the things? Oh, no, you can't get them yet. It's like,
you need the green tokens with the squiggle on them. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
That's
a bigger problem of this sort of a big open world collectible game as well, is that they throw you in like that and you don't really realize. If you knew early on what the stuff was for and how to get it, you'd be like, well, this game it would flow better because I could be able to get all the stuff I wanted I wanted it, instead of having to wait and stuff like, so like, oh, now I know what they are, but like, you have to wait for it. Like they need to make those gaps smaller between what you know where it is and then getting them.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the pacing overall. I'm looking forward to the DLC dropping.
Unlocking stuff. So the story pacing is great. It's fine. It's just,
I just mean like the pacing of like delivering stuff and the different gadgets. Although there are some gadgets that I finished the game and I never even unlocked the final gadget, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the types of things you have to do for tokens, I just didn't care for.
I've heard from people that have played it that there's things and they're like, oh, you can get them, but, and you can just see in their eyes, they've got the, but you have to fucking grind for them.
It's not even grinding necessarily. It's just there's... I don't want to spoil it.
I'll include grinding to be anything that you just don't find interesting to do or don't particularly want to do. It becomes a grind tasks, at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I'm glad you're getting to play it at least.
Also, quick time events. There are some quick time events in there that pop out of nowhere. Oh, no, you failed it. Ah. When I wasn't really expecting it or didn't expect it to be that quick.
I found them well paced, like in terms of giving you advance warning. I just found, at least for the first time that they pop up, it's not clear when you have to trigger.
Yeah, the one with the circle getting smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's unclear whether you're meant to do it in that first outer ring or when it hits the little ring or what.
And you know the ones where you got to move the stick into the thing? I thought, oh, yeah, yeah, move the stick into the thing and I'm good. Oh, no, you got to hit a button as well. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. And I'm used to Xbox controllers. And then I'm like, what the hell's an L3? There's only two buttons here on the L. Oh, no, that means in on the stick.
Yep.
Yeah. So stuff like that as well, like, because I'm not familiar with the buttons necessarily. And just like, oh, sweet. Spider-Man's like surfing that car. Oh, wait, shit, I had to do a thing. Whoops. It was that's what I mean by like, it pops up when you're not, well, I wasn't expecting it. And then by the time you've reacted to it, now it's already too late. You failed it.
I mean, I think the key here, Cliff, is get good.
Stop making wicked cinematic sequences where he's surfing on cars and make me do something.
Yeah.
I expected, you know, it cuts to a cutscene. I expected, oh, cool, I've done the thing. It'll now show me completing the thing. No, it pops up and asks you to do things and it doesn't tell you really straight up. Doesn't pause it and go like, here's exactly how to do this. Now have a practice. It just goes like, oh, here's a thing. Oh, shit, I failed it.
Yeah, the tutorializing is a little weird.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But like, it's really, really fun. It's just nitpicking on a few things like that. But they're not problems with this game specific. Most of the problems are just like, people aren't don't really like quick time events in general. So.
Yeah, they've kind of had their day.
I don't think I haven't really found a really good thing. I've always had a problem where I'm like, I'm watching the game. And it's like, oh, this is cool things happening. And then it springs on you. Like, oh shit, I've got to do a thing. And the window in some games is tiny, infuriatingly so.
I also find it annoying games that have, you know, the action going on for the quick time event, but the button prompts are not in the focal area of the screen.
Oh yeah, like off in like the top left corner of the screen where you're watching the like action that's happening in the bottom right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even just ones that keep it static at, you know, bottom center of the screen, because that's not necessarily where the cool thing that's happening is going on that you're supposedly in control of.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I found the most well executed for a game that I never finished was, I think it was just 360, or it might have been PS3 as well, Asura's Wrath.
Oh, no, obviously, which... I never played it.
I played a bit of it at least. You're playing as a god, and I think you were murdering all the gods or something, but when they did the button prompts for the face buttons on the PS3 controller, you know, you've got top, bottom, left, right. That's where they were on the screen. So even without having to look directly at to see, oh, this is triangle button prompt, you know, there's something happening at the top of the screen, I just need to hit triangle.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so yep. You could focus on the action while still accurately doing the prompts, which is the problem with QuickTime events. Like, yes, they let you do something cool and cinematic that isn't necessarily easy to execute in your game's mechanics, but you also need to be able to watch it while it's happening. Otherwise, what's the point?
The danger is it pulls you out of the game, so you miss the sweet, like, cool cinematic stuff.
Yeah, this amazing thing has happened, but because you're watching for QuickTime prompts in the bottom corner or something, you're not going to enjoy any of it.
Yeah. That's about, like I said, that's part of the thing with the spider. I was like, oh, sweet, he's doing cool stuff. And then it's just like, oh, shit, I had to do a thing. Missed it. And then it's like, okay, cool. So then I thought, I started predicting it. So I know something was going to come up. And then it's like, it's, you know, there'll be three or four different ways he stops cars. And it's like, I'm waiting for one.
Yeah.
And then it does another. I'm like, for fuck's sake. I've just missed another one because I'm expecting the other one.
Tut, tut.
Yeah.
Well, that's Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's fun, though. It's real fun. Swinging around.
Oh, yeah. Greatest shit ever. The swinging animations are amazing. The fluidity of it.
I've had some weird stuff where he won't sort of go to where I want it to go. Like, I'll kind of get caught in like a weird little spot and he'll like run and jump off a building and stuff like that. And finding the right, you know, so you can, L2, R2 to like shoot to a spot on like a ledge or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like trying to find like the spot you want. Or like, I know there's a spot there, so I'm going to like go to it. And then you hit the buttons and it's like was on it for a second, then it switched to another one. And it's like, no, I'm going the other way now. Like, stuff like that. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. Yeah. It like, over time, like, as I mentioned when I first talked about it, like, the fact that they increase your swinging speed and you have the traversal unlocks and everything means that by the time you've unlocked the full suite of them, you feel, A, super cool, and B, competent enough to keep up with the speed that it's added.
It's, they've done a really good job at making you feel like you're awesome when really it's the simplest baby shit in the world. You just, oh, you can, yeah. You literally just hold a button and press X and you can just be pro. And that's all you can, all you need to do.
The sheer amount of maths involved with making that system work is staggering, but that is all I have to say about it.
It makes regular like jerks like us feel like we're Spider-Man, and that's that's a small miracle.
Speaking of regular jerks like us, this regular jerk has been playing the same video game for like 60 hours in the last 2 weeks. It is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Which Ubisoft were kind enough to send me.
Now, we weren't allowed to talk about it last time, but does it have an assassin? Does that assassin have a creed? And is there an Odyssey involved? Can you confirm?
I will answer the third of those questions, which is yes, there is an Odyssey.
Woohoo!
There is, in fact, several Odysseys. They do something different with this one, which is that your main quest missions are separated into three different storylines. So the setting of the game is you play as either Cassandra or Alexios, who, whichever one you choose, they are a child of Sparta. A bad thing happened when they were a kid and they lost their family and ended up on an island called Kefalonia instead of in Sparta. So they lost their family.
Protagonist stuff so far.
Yep. And so your main quest is finding your family, reuniting with them, and rejoining the nation of Sparta. Alongside that, you find out that there's this cult, the Cult of Cosmos, which is basically the stand-in for the Templars for this game. They're controlling things, doing bad stuff, messing with the population. You find out that there is, what is that, like 40 of them, I think. And you meet them all hooded and robed and masked, so you don't know who they are. So you have to find out who they are by finding clues in the world, unveil who they are, then hunt them down and kill them. So you're cleaning up ancient Greece. And then there's a third plotline revolving around the kind of first civilization precursors thing, because they said they were bringing that more into the game. But I won't say what that is because that's spoilery.
But are, so you've got this stuff that's hinted in other games, are they?
Yeah, yeah. So, you haven't really gotten into Assassin's Creed, have you?
No.
So the first civilization were pre-human. They designed us, and all of the fancy artifacts in the game, the apples of Eden and all that kind of stuff, are first civilization artifacts. So now, they're ancient technology.
Because they're going all like ancient mythology type stuff. Are we supposed to believe that these are like the Assassin's Creed version of Atlanteans?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the DLCs for this game will be exploring Atlantis.
Right, okay. So probably yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've always had it kind of on the periphery, or it comes up in the end game or something like that. So they said with Odyssey they were going to bring it more into the storyline, which is why the spear, the broken spear that your character has, which is the spear of Leonidas, who is your grandpa,
Of course,
is an ancient artifact. And it's kind of their way of explaining why you can see attacks coming and do all these cool abilities and stuff. And so you go try and power that up to make yourself cooler, basically. Yeah, so there's these three discrete channels for the storyline, which means that you're kind of bouncing back and forth and not I'm stuck doing the same thing all the time.
Overlap between them at points too.
There's points where one story won't continue until you've triggered something in the other. And yeah, it's really well woven together.
It seems like they're doing a bit of like GTA 5 almost, where you can kind of like flick between them and...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's kind of necessary because the world is huge. Like, a lot of it's ocean, but it's a big map. So you need different reasons to send you off to different corners of the world and all this stuff. I enjoyed it. There was several things that I did not like about it. But the Cult of Cosmos was one of my favorites because the way they do it is you find your first cultist, say, and when you kill them, there'll be like a letter or something on them that gives you a hint to another cultist. Like, it won't be...
Oh, you mean it's like horse?
Hmm?
You kill them and you get a letter? It's like horse?
No, not quite. It's not like literally a letter, Clifford. You get a note or some piece of information that hints towards another cultist. Not, oh, Steve is a cultist. It's, oh, one of the cultists is the owner of a stone quarry in this particular country. So you go to the quarry, you hunt around, you might find a clue that gives you the exact identity of who they are. And then you kill them, you get another clue, and so on and so on and so on. And there's 5 members in each of the 8 branches of the cult. And once you've killed all of them, you'll have collected enough information to know who the leader of their branch is. Then you can go murder them. And then once you've murdered all the leaders, you can find the super leader. And you've fixed Greece, basically.
Hooray! And history is always great from then on. No more wars.
Yeah, I mean, the Peloponnesian War is going on all around you. And you're an active part of it, but it's fine. Everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So having the ancient stuff in there more is cool. I like that stuff. Having out of Animus stuff, which kind of been away from the series for a few times, has come back, and I enjoyed that, but it's not as much as I would like. But it is very good. The combat is great, because you've got like RPG-ish abilities that you can trigger now, instead of just an overpower attack, which is what they did the last game. Your horse got dumber, though. Like, I swear, the horse got stupid.
Hey, maybe you just got a special horse.
Apparently, Phobos is a very special horse. It's very clearly built on the same engine with some of the same assets as Origins. Like, the horses look the same because it's a horse. The way your character moves is the same. All that stuff, like, it's carried over. They're just using the same engine with a fresh coat of paint. But they must have downgraded the horse AI, because it used to be you'd summon your horse with the button press and it'd turn up, you know, within 20 meters of you, run up. And usually my favorite thing to do in Origins was to keep running, summon the horse. It would run up alongside me. I could jump on really cool and just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But with this game, I had to summon the horse and stand there and wait to see if it would show up. Because it would spawn further away, get stuck on stuff, and have trouble pathfinding, and then stop behind me. It's like, no, run up next to me. We have places to go.
Maybe they tweaked the just like the general pathfinding stuff, and it's just gone wonky.
Yeah, and it's a problem because, you know, I might have a target to get to 200 meters away in the game. So I'll start running, I'll summon my horse, and it'll arrive next to me just as I get to the destination. I'm like, come on, buddy. What's wrong? What's up? So, yeah, little things like that, troubling. They do have a bit of trouble with the combat stack-on with multiple enemies, because there's a type of attack that you can't block.
Fun
which
times.
Is fine. Like if you dodge it at the right moment, you get time slow down and you can, like,
counter
go
it,
crazy
whatever.
On them.
Yeah.
But that sort of unblockable attack, enemies tend to stack them, which is a problem. There's also a type of like a rage move or something they can do where they glow red overall, but then the indicator for unblockable is red. So it's a little
right. Yeah.
It's
not
sure enough.
What they're doing exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just little things like that, but I mean, they're trying new things. Some of them work, some of them don't. That's just been the history of Assassin's Creed. I have enjoyed my time with it. I've finished 2 of the 3 plot lines. I'm just kind of mopping up the cult at the moment, because not all of them are involved in the main story either. Some of them are, and you do take down a couple of the leaders as part of the plotline, but more than half of the cult could still be around by the time you finish the main quest.
And they're just hanging out, like, running their fish store, just trying to provide for their families, and some arsehole rocks up and murder kills them.
That's me. I did enjoy that the way that they are seated throughout the world is very sort of varied to kind of pull you into all the things. Like, some of them will be in ships, so you have to trigger a naval battle to take them down. Some of them are in the conquest events, which, like, you mess with the country enough to weaken the leadership, and then you can trigger a battle between Spartan and Athens. Pick who you're going to fight for and either protect the country or change ownership, and some of them will only turn up in those battles. Some of them are mercenaries who hunt you down if your wanted level gets too high, so you have to find them there or in the arena. And yeah, some of them are actually part of side quests, so if you're just out exploring the world, it'll pull you into that. Yeah, so it's nice that it's kind of given you a reason to explore these corners of the map that wouldn't be part of the main storyline, instead of just doing side quests or getting all the viewpoints or unlocking all of the map. Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I played it for 60 hours. I was still playing it before the podcast today, so it's clearly a good game.
I was playing Spider-Man just before we started recording as well.
Nice.
Hmm.
Yeah. For more information on my extended thoughts on this, you can visit Survivor.com. As of 9 p.m. Monday this week, when it will be live. Should be up by the time this podcast goes out. I am not going to be that quick at editing. Yeah, read all about it.
Extra.
Yeah. Now, we've been talking for almost half an hour about these two games.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just really quickly touch on the third one that we've both been playing.
Mm-hmm. Apart from I've been playing Siege and Rocket League too, but there's nothing new there.
I don't care about those.
Let's talk about this other game.
Yes. Begin.
It's called The Gardens Between.
It is. It is made by an Australian studio.
Who are very, very nice people.
Yes, we met them last year at PAX.
We did. We played this at PAX last year. Mm. And it was good.
Yeah, it was just a handful of levels. And then I think they had one from like later in the game that was tougher that they invited us to try.
They had a few that were like, there wasn't consecutive levels. It was like a few spread out, yeah, that we played.
Yeah, and then they had a harder one to try if you wanted to test your luck. It was a lot of fun. I was very excited to see it popping up as coming out last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last week? Yeah. And they were very kind in sending us two different kinds of code so that we could both use them.
Mm-hmm.
mine was an American PS4 code, so it's lucky that I have an American account for unlocking games.
Nice.
For a second, I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to ask for a new code. I was like, no, I don't. Because I one time wanted to get that VR game that was waiting 2 extra weeks to come out in European regions.
Nice. Slick.
I didn't want to wait that long to play I Expect You to Die.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I got a Steam key, so I'm playing it on the PC.
Yes, it's on the consoles and the PC.
Yeah.
It's a fun little puzzle game.
It's a cool game, and it's got one of my favorite kind of things that I like across all mediums, comics, books, movies, TV shows. Video games, not used enough in video games, I think, but like a time mechanic.
Yes.
But a good time mechanic.
Yeah, and not time travel, it's like time manipulation in the sense of games like Braid would probably be the closest thing I could link it to. In some of the levels of Braid where elements would only move forward and backward in time based on your movement.
It kind of reminds me as well as of Prince of Persia.
Little bit, yeah.
Where you can, it's like, oh no, like you did something wrong, so you just like wind back time 15 seconds, whatever, except you can wind it back to the start of the level or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, the idea is that you don't move the actual characters in the game themselves, there's two of them. You move time, so the characters are gonna always do the same thing, well, to an extent, based on different
things. Yep, they have a predetermined path.
Modify. Yeah. And you, when you press like right on the stick, it moves time forward and they go on their path. And then you press left and they go backwards on their path.
And they're all these kind of surrealist circular islands. So you're sort of moving around the island. They're, I guess, created from memories.
Memories of dreams. Both.
Yeah. You're playing as these two kids, Arena and Friend. I don't know how to pronounce that correctly. Arena and Friend.
Mm.
They each have different things that they can interact with in the environment. Arena or Arena?
I have no idea.
They don't say their names.
Yeah, they don't speak, so you don't know.
She carries a sort of a lantern sort of thing that can grab these light balls that you need to use to interact with objects in the world.
That you get from flowers.
From magic flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And Friend can interact with these bells that
of a couple of toggle, different kinds of bell.
Yeah, that toggle things in the environment kind of thing.
Like to open or close flowers or to...
Yeah.
Have you got to the skeleton level?
No.
Okay. What about the Jenga one? That's pretty early on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
where you encounter like a Jenga tower that's fallen over and you hit the bell, and then you can control time just for that one thing in the level, and the tower then reverses up and goes up to a normal thing again, and then you can like go past where it was blocking, all the geometry things. So stuff like that is cool. So you kind of, you do change time to an extent.
Yes. Yeah. But it's not full on. No. Yeah, I really enjoyed the game because, especially the characters, like they have a lot of personality as they're moving around the world.
The girl really likes to like get her like arms crossed and like, I'm waiting, as like friend like runs up. You know, he's been looking at something like, oh, like in points, and then it's like, oh no, then he has to like do a quick step to get up and catch up with
her. Yeah, he's very curious about things. Like one of the early levels, she was just sort of tromping along as per normal, and he sort of stopped to look at something cool, and then she's like, come on, and he jogs to catch up, and it's like, it's those little bits of characterization instead of them just walking that make it a really adorable game. Also, the art style is gorgeous. Yeah.
The music I love as well. It's very like ambient and cool and weird, but it's very, very good.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the music come out as like a digital album or something, because it is very chill to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this. We should have mentioned this is by the Voxel Agents, who are very good at video games.
What else have they done?
I was just thinking that I've played a couple of their games, I'm sure. Oh, they did Train Conductor, Puzzle Retreat, and more Train Conductors. I remember playing Train Conductors. They're fun, but they stress me out, so I can't play them for too long. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this one is a lot more chill of a game.
You can't fuck it up, basically.
Yeah.
If you get to a point and you can't go back any further, it means you haven't done something further on.
Exactly, yeah. There's no failure state. You just get to a point where time can't move forwards and or backwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to digging into more of it because, yeah, it builds the challenge slowly over time, which I enjoy. But definitely sort of makes you work your noodle.
Mm. And so you have the way that the sort of levels are set out, you have, so far it's been two or three kind of levels. Like you're in a little boat, which looks like their treehouse or cubby house or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Made into a boat, and they kind of, it looks like you're going around in a spiral, like getting closer and closer to the center. And when you're going around, in this mode kind of thing between levels, you see, like all the other levels are kind of hidden in like a fog or something like that. But the central one, or what looks to be the central one, is like big and tall. Looks kind of very like ominous and stuff. So I'm assuming that.
Okay. I hadn't really paid attention to that.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's very kind of tall in the center. But I'm assuming that all these memories or dreams or combination of the two are going to come to a head, and you're going to find out what the deal is with these kids and why we're playing the game.
Yeah, I think they are memories that are being assembled because, for instance, the first two puzzles, the first sort of grouping, when you finish each puzzle, it turns into a little element that floats around in the kind of overworld map. So the first two are a moving box and a door, and when you've solved both, they combine, and you see that it's kind of representing when Arina moved into the neighborhood and they met for the first time. So it's kind of telling the story of their friendship, which...
Moved in what I assume is next door. Because you got the two houses on the side, and then their treehouse is kind of in the middle on the fence between them. Yeah,
like the opening scene where it's raining, then you can see the curtains blowing out of his window and a literal blanket rope coming down from a second-story window to get out to the treehouse. So I think maybe the kids don't have a great life at home.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it's something like they're not... You know, each got their own problems, but they're not fun time times for them as kids growing up. So, which I assume that you'll see more and more of, kind of like how Unravel did it, where shit gets more serious as you go along. By the end of it, this is intense.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to digging into it. I did pause the game briefly because I needed to get more into Odyssey to write the review for one thing, but also I found a puzzle that I didn't immediately know the solution to, so I was like, yeah, I'll come back to it.
Can you remember what it was?
No.
Okay.
It was the one where the little things that you put the lantern on were all jumping around and they got covered in different colors of paint.
It took me a little bit to see that, because you have to watch them jump around and track them through the level, and a couple of them disappear behind the level, and
and they change colors because they jump into different paint pots. Yeah. It so was just like the
blue
one.
It's like, oh, but it goes blue, then like purple, then orange, then back to blue again, and yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's not hard. It's just like it's going to take me more than 30 seconds to track
you
this.
You got to actually, yeah, spend a bit of time and watch, and it could be any one of like 4 or 5 of them or something.
Yeah,
that are jumping around. So you got to like watch individual ones and just hope you got. Like if you didn't find the right one to watch at the start, having to be the last one you're looking at, you're going to spend a bunch of time watching shit jump around.
Oh, yeah. But no, I highly recommend it. It's out on like everything.
Mm-hmm.
PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. So go out and check it out. Like,
It's fun. It's a cool, weird makers. Little puzzle game.
Yeah. I also really enjoy that the kind of splash art they've got on their website for it has one of the islands, and there's what is very clearly an old school Woolies shopping trolley in the background.
Nice.
The sort of grey steel frame, the red sides, and the off-white handle. Mm-hmm. So you can tell it's an Australian game.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, that's good. I highly recommend it, and thank you to Voxel Agents for sending us copies. Thank you. Hopefully they'll be exhibiting this or something else at PAX at the end of this month, and we can say thank you in person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really looking forward to playing Untitled Goose Game, which I'm pretty sure is exhibiting there. I love them. Okay, well, let's move on to news.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot this week, which is good, because we've been talking for a very long time already.
Let's quickfire this.
So some of these are just points of note and don't really merit discussion. Daredevil Season 3 got a release date.
October 18, 19? Something like that?
Yeah, mid-October.
Woohoo, yay.
It's coming. Nothing in the teaser trailer has revealed what is going on, because he's meant to be dead.
He's not dead, which we already knew because we watched the end of Defenders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's cool. A second trailer came out for the Bumblebee movie.
This looks good. Like it could actually be good.
He actually looks like G1 Bumblebee.
Oh, better than that, though. Like, Soundwave, oh, he looks so good. And, like, Ravage jumps out of his chest.
Yes.
And, is it Shockwave as well? Like, oh, they look so good. They look G1.
And Starscream looking like...
He looks like he's old, like, weirdly coloured, like, shitty fighter jet. It looks so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Like, the thing is, like, it's still a Michael Bay movie, but they've clearly, finally listened to reason.
Well, he's not directing anymore, which is the good thing.
Well, it's still in, like, the Michael Bay Transformers universe.
Well, hopefully it's not. Hopefully they use this. It becomes popular. People go like, wow, when you actually made a Transformers movie, let's retcon all the other shit and then reboot it from this. Hopefully they do that.
I would be okay with that. Yeah. Because, yeah, the overcomplicated nature of the Transformers made it impossible to track them on screen tell them apart.
I know they used the transforming sound effect in the Bay movies, but they really made it... They up the volume on the metal clanking sounds and really numbed that down. It's just all like classic Transform sound in this.
Yeah.
With like a little bit the thing. They reversed it and it sounds awesome.
It's still a little like they've let the complexity of the transformation be in there, but when it's done, it looks like Bumblebee. And
They look more solid. You can identify who they are. They've still got the machine parts and you can see that they're actually made of like a machine of complex things. But they look solid. They don't just look like a wrangling bit of parts. When they get punched, it doesn't look like they're just going to explode into like a million pieces of random metal.
Bumblebee transforms and he is big blocks of yellow. Yeah, that's exactly. The important thing.
And they just look so good.
And his little battle helmet that makes him look like a bee is so cute.
Yeah.
But
it looks great, but we've been lied to before. So
it's true.
Yeah.
We'll give it time. Megatron was like dug up in the first Transformers movie or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, some bullshit like that.
Yeah, which means we won't get to see him turn into a gun, which is a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But, I'll take what I can get. That's like next year, I think, or I think so, Christmas? Yeah.
I don't know. But like, I'm looking forward to it. I think it has a genuine chance to be good.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I haven't even seen the last Transformers movie.
Yeah, because
I just did, it's like, fucking junk. Was it the second one with Marky Mark, I think?
No, the third one or maybe fourth one. Maybe the fourth one. I don't even know. Like, it's just... At some point, they switch over to Marky Mark.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Who cares? Moving on, there was also a trailer for Dark Phoenix, the next X-Men movie,
mm-hmm.
which I thought that they were being really bold and just calling it Dark Phoenix with the like the circle around the X to indicate it's an X-Men film, but it's still going to be called X-Men : Dark Phoenix. So,
I mean, we've had some good X-Men movies, but I'm really not sure they know how to make a... What I think what they do is they go like, we're going to make a movie, and they make a movie, and then they don't really plan out how their movies are going to like kind of loosely connect. You don't have to make a full Marvel universe, but everything... The big bad in every single one of the movies pops up in that movie out of nowhere and becomes like Apocalypse is a massive letdown because he just pops up. You had no idea who he was before. I mean, we know because we're nerds, but we, you know, as in terms of in the movie, in the context of the movie, in the universe of the movie, he just pops up and then like, oh no, he's the worst. So, well, we don't, how do we know he's the worst? We don't even know anything about him. Oh no, we defeated him.
Cool. Here's this indiscriminate list of powers.
Yep.
Yeah.
That he doesn't seem to use properly to actually defeat people. Yeah.
But yeah, this is going to be the movie version of the Dark Phoenix saga. And it seems like they're actually going to be a little bit closer to source material because they've said that a significant portion of the movie will take place in space, which it's a very cosmic-based story. And the big bad is that very pale blonde woman who some people thought was... was it Mastermind, I think is the name of the mind-manipulating X-Men villain?
I don't know.
Who's a man and a green man in the comics, but they're like, oh, it could be gender flip. But then I think someone said that she's alien, so there's a thought that she might be Shi'ar, who are very tied to the Phoenix mythology.
Oh, yeah, isn't that the planet that she blood and blood and...
The ones who look like bird people.
Yeah. Or something.
No, that was the Kree that got eliminated in the comics. The Shi'ar are still around. They're dicks.
No, but didn't she wrong them in some way? And now they're after and want to kill her and they kidnap her at one point. And that's where...
I think so. I haven't read a lot of the old X-Men comics.
Where Kitty Pryde like phases a bullet through the earth or something like that and then goes off into space and...
There's been a lot of nonsense in the X-Men comics. Yeah. All I know is that the Shi'ar have those ridiculous triangle bird heads.
Oh, yeah, and a pyramid head. Sure.
Yeah, kind of. I think they're meant to be feathers or something, but I really want to see if they make a go of replicating that in the real world, because I can't wait to see how terrible it looks.
In terms of the movie, I mean, it's hard to tell. It's not as good a trailer as the Days of Future Past trailer, but that's the best X-Men trailer I think they've ever had.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'll give it a try.
I'll watch it for sure.
But if they have another Quicksilver slow-mo section, I would be very happy because those were both amazing.
Oh, they're the highlights of the movies they're in. Yeah.
I've definitely watched the one from... what was the one, last one that was in Apocalypse?
Apocalypse, with the house blowing up?
Yes.
Yeah.
That one I've watched on YouTube more than a handful of times.
Yeah.
Because it's set to Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, which is an amazing song that I love.
So yeah, we'll see. He'll be right.
It could be right. It could be terrible. It's an X-Men film, and it's about Jean Grey and the Phoenix.
The trailer doesn't really make it look great or bad. It could be either. Could be neither.
If a significant portion of it is in space, that would be cool, because that's a whole like section of the like X-Men property that they haven't explored in the movies so far, and it's sitting right there where no one else can use it.
Mm-hmm. And if they go cosmic, they could wrangle it into the Marvel Universe somehow.
Exactly. Next, this isn't going quick enough. At Minecon, the Minecraft convention, they revealed upcoming expansions to Minecraft itself, Village and Pillage, which is new villages types and stuff. But they also announced Minecraft Dungeons, which will be a game set in the Minecraft world that is an RPG with a story.
But it's not an RPG that's going to happen within the Minecraft game, so I'm uninterested.
It is a separate title, like many video games.
But Minecraft is really empty, and this is something people have actually wanted. They're like something to do in the game, and we've never got it, and so I'm just not interested in it. I want Minecraft to be filled out more.
Yeah. Well, it seems like from the character models are the same. Like, they're not even as complex as the Minecraft story mode ones, which is a little bit of a bummer. But they seem to have your typical RPG archetypes. There's a mage, a sword guy, all that kind of stuff. It's just a very quick trailer. I think they did that.
I just want that stuff inside existing Minecraft. Just to fill out the game more. But, you know, whatever.
But yeah, that got announced. There was a trailer. It's kind of cute, but it still looks like Minecraft. It could use a layer of polish. In other news, Bee and Puppycat, all of it is going to drop onto YouTube this month, apparently.
Wait, what was that, sorry?
Bee and Puppycat. It is an animated series by Natasha Allegri, who used to work on Adventure Time. I kickstarted it, and it took like 2 extra years to come out, and the last 2 episodes were trash. Like, they were animated by a cheaper studio and did not look as good. I haven't watched them. But yeah, they're dropping it all on YouTube, which is nice because maybe I'll finally get around to watching it. That thing that I paid for like 4 years ago.
Yay.
It's a cute idea. This one's more of interest to me, and I just thought it made me sad. An MMO called Wildstar. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I
played it a bit as well. I did review it. It's getting shut down for good.
I really liked some aspects of that game.
I really liked the combat with sort of painting the world with your area of effect for attacks and stuff.
After playing a lot of WoW, basically knowing exactly the bounds of your spell while it's being cast and while it's cut and while its effect is going, awesome. That was amazing.
And it was great being able to see other people's at the same time and boss area effects and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. The world was beautiful. The character design was really interesting. It was a game that I got interested in to begin with because they did a bunch of story trailers, sort of animated versions of the character models that had a lot of personality and really drew me in until I found out it was an MMO, and then I lost interest for a while. But when I had the chance to play it, I dived in anyway. It was a lot of fun. It went free to play like a year after it came out and has been carrying on like that since, but now is getting officially shut down as of the end of November. So they've got a bunch of events planned and boosts for players and all that kind of stuff to live out the last few months. But yeah, it's gone for good, which is a little bit of a bummer.
You could have your own house and like land in there as well, which was really, really cool.
It was in its own little sort of zone.
It was its own little bubble, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, they angled it as like they were like homes floating in the sky or something.
Yeah.
So you could invite people in and give them
edit pads
stuff or not. But yeah, you get like rewards from missions and stuff that'd be new stuff to put in your house. I actually forgot about that. That was cool.
Yeah, that was a really good aspect of that game. It's what WoW kind of really needed. It needed like a spot where you could chill out. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little disappointing. I almost want to go back and play it, but I don't know if I could get far enough in it at this point to make it worthwhile for 2 months, and I definitely wouldn't play it enough. But I'll be interested to see what this kind of... They've angled it like there's an event that's going to happen to shut down the world.
It'll be pretty cool if they do something big like that.
Yeah. Like
restaurant literally the end of the universe kind of thing. You get to sit there and watch it explode.
Yeah. What game did that when it shut down? Was it one of the Star Wars MMOs or something a couple of years ago? No, it was when Final Fantasy XIV, the original version, ended. They actually had a cataclysm that occurred in-game that destroyed everything, and they led up to it for months beforehand. That's a different situation, though, because they were relaunching the game like 2 months later. But yeah, it sounds like they're going to have an event, because on the final day for Wildstar, November 28th, join us in-game for the final few hours as we have some fun, more details to come. So knowing the humor of that game, hopefully it'll be something funny. And I look forward to watching, you know, Twitch streams of it after the fact. The last piece of news I have written down is just another little aside. Apparently, Ryan Reynolds is working on a new film. The concept is that it's actually about an MMO that's being shut down, and he will be playing an NPC who becomes self-aware and works together with a player to try and prevent the game being shut down. It's called Free Guy, is the working title. So he's going to star in it and also be a director, I think. And Sean Levy, who was the executive producer of Stranger Things, will be the director.
Oh, nice.
So he and Reynolds will be producers, and he's also the director.
Sounds fun. Sounds kind of Wreck-It Ralph-y a little bit.
It sounds like a fun concept. So yeah, he's trying to stop the game being shut down so that he can keep on living. That could be cool.
I heard another rumor about him as well, that he was making a Home Alone like spiritual successor movie where it's about a dude who is at home, he's like a stoner college kid and smokes all of his weed and gets super paranoid that people are breaking in.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, that could be pretty good.
Yeah, so like, you know, an adult's version of Home Alone. I heard that room. I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounded, I would be in for that if he was in it, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this Free Guy movie sounds like a really interesting concept. There's no date or anything set to it. It's just that there's a concept that's out there, and I'm into it. Mm. Yeah, that's all I got.
I don't have anything else, I don't think.
That's everything that happened this week at all. And now it's time to end this podcast. So thank you for tuning in for your weekly dose of The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors, as hosted by myself and Clifford. We've enjoyed having you here to listen to us talk about two video games for 27 minutes.
They are pretty good video games, though. Well, one of them is, for sure.
And my one is as well. I'm going to go play it more after this, to be honest.
I'm going to go play more Spider-Man, I think. Have some dinner and play Spider-Man. If you like our opening and closing music, it is Fox Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. You can find it primarily on Bandcamp, but all kinds of other places around the internet where other music people share music things.
Exactly. You can also find us online at indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook, at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter, and on Instagram, also at IndoorsmanPod, which I still haven't updated. Like, I'll get to it one day.
Tradition, I'd say.
Yes. It's also possible that in the not-too-distant future, we might be able to start uploading our episodes to YouTube, if I can figure it out well enough. Just so you've got another easy way to access us.
It's fairly simple to do that.
Yeah.
We'll wrangle it. Yep. If you want to get in contact with us directly, you can find us on Twitter, myself at Cliff and Monkey, kinda, and Matt definitely at Ponk. And if you want to email us, maybe you need more than X characters that Twitter things need.
280.
Sure, why not? Then you can do it via contact at indoorsmanpodcast.com.
Yep. As always, if you wanted to subscribe, review, or rate the show on iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean or whatever, we'd be okay with that. We'd kind of like it, so feel free to do it.
For now, he's been Matt.
And he's been Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying, I want to go murder more ancient Greasing people.
And I'm going to murder more people in New York City.
Nice. Spider-Man doesn't kill.
Make no mistake, he flat out murders people in this game.
Doesn't. It's fine. No one on that exploding car that was stuck to it with webbing got hurt at all.